The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, thank you so much for joining us. It's wonderful to have you with us again. We are getting ready right now to interview a wonderful guy who I think you all have, we've spoken to Peter Breen before. He is, of course, with the wonderful Thomas More Society. And I'm thrilled as always to talk with him. He's executive vice president and head of litigation. He practiced law for over two decades. Peter has shown himself equally comfortable arguing in the federal courtroom, debating on the floor of the legislature, and explaining complex points of constitutional law in front of television cameras. We have seen him do all that very recently. Peter, it's so great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you.
Peter, you have just finished, and I have to say I'm sorry to note that I didn't follow to the end, but I know that you've just been presenting oral arguments on April the 9th before the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. Tell us what was all this is about. Tell us about it, because this is a very important case.
Yes, and this was oral argument there at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals up against both the Arconic Corporation, which is a Fortune 500 company that makes – it's an aluminum manufacturer, and the Biden Department of Justice, their EEOC. So they sent lawyers in from Washington to oppose our client. And our client is a guy named Dan Snyder. He was 62 years old at the time. He was fired. He's a union metal worker for Arconic. And what he did one night when he was on his late shift, you know, logged into his account there at work, and they were doing a company survey, and they were talking all about their survey, and so they were asking their employees for responses, you know, their opinions on things. Well, this was during Gay Pride Month, and so the company, this aluminum manufacturer, had essentially plastered the rainbow Gay Pride flag everywhere, including at the top of the page with the survey. And Dan is a committed Christian. He occasionally will give sermons at his church on Sundays, which the company knew. And so he made a comment. He expressed his opposition to the use of the rainbow in connection with sexual gender. And so for that, he was immediately suspended and within a couple days fired. The other side said, well, you violated our diversity policy because your comments were offensive. And mind you, didn't target any of his coworkers, didn't talk to any of his coworkers. He posted it on a company intranet page, you know, as a comment to the company. But, you know, that wasn't enough. So, you know, that explanation, you know, was just shocking to them. And I'll tell you, we went to the district court, sued the company for firing him. And the judge adopted a line of reasoning, which we believe is not in accord with the law and would be very dangerous precedent, which is, he said, well, it wasn't required by your religion that you make the comment to the company. Yeah. So think about this. Yeah. I mean, so you could wear a cross around your neck. Well, that's not technically required by your religion. Or if you say God bless you to someone at work, you know, that's not required. I mean, it's not in the scriptures you have to say God bless you on Tuesday morning to Sally. No. And so that is not the standard of law. But I'll tell you, when we got that decision from the trial court, we go up on appeal and the Biden administration jumps in against this little, you know, this little metal worker, union metal worker. Yeah, I mean, as if the Fortune 500 company wasn't enough, Biden EEOC comes in to try to pound home this idea that your religious rights are constrained once you get into the workplace.
Peter, what about our diversity? What about my diversity? I mean, what about this? What has happened?
I'll tell you, during the deposition, so we got the company's representative under oath. It was. You know, he said things like, well, you can't bring your beliefs that are not work related into the workplace. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, you just put the pride flag. And it's the thing. This isn't Disney, which is trying to corrupt your children. It's an aluminum manufacturer. Oh, what God. In the world, you know, do they have to do with LGBTQ, et cetera? So that's, you know, that was part of the issue. And just, I'll tell you, in the oral argument from the attorney, you know, with the attorney for the company, and this, you know, the statements of their company rep, it was almost like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
They had no clue, just couldn't even conceive of the fact that a committed Christian might have an objection to using the rainbow, the sign of God's covenant with Noah, in connection with the LGBTQ items. I mean, they couldn't even conceive of it. And, you know, they were just horrified, shocked. And so, I mean, it was interesting, you know, like this clash of cultures, essentially.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Well, and if this is allowed to stand, I mean, my goodness, they could fire you for anything. Absolutely. Because once they find out you're a religious Christian or committed any, you know, religion.
Any religion, yeah. If it doesn't suit their particular one.
Yeah. I mean, it's harassment to even express it. You violated the diversity policy, you're fired. And that, again, we drew upon, you know, many, many cases over the years where employees were actually proselytizing their coworkers. And that was found to be a legitimate expression of religious faith. You know, it's not required by your faith that you talk to Sally on a Tuesday morning about, you know, in this particular topic. So that's our hope, is that the Court of Appeals will reverse that trial court, really rein in the other side, which is trying to curtail your religious liberty. So this
to me is just incredibly a bully tactic, you know, because no matter what, please, dear God, that I pray that you will, you know, be successful in what you're doing right now, and we will be able to rein in it. But you, when you think about this, Peter, from the perspective of the bully tactic of some, you know, as you say, some guy who's just, he's working, doing his job. It doesn't seem to be that he did anything wrong other than express his own opinion, which they asked him for, you know, this kind of stuff. This is bullying.
Absolutely. And you know, it was interesting too, when you get into discovery in court, you find out what actually occurred sometimes. And in this case, you know, they talked about how offensive his comments were, but it turned out they couldn't identify any actual employee offended other than the HR people who were tasked to take the thing down. Goodness. They said, well, we were offended. And you're going, it's your job to do HR. And, you know, I mean, come on. It was, you know, none of his coworkers were offended. No one anywhere in this Fortune 500, you know, international company was actually offended. Just the HR commissars. So that's one of those little facts there. Yeah.
So we expect to get some sort of decision on this, or you don't?
Well, it usually takes a few months or a little longer. And this was, you know, this, because of the EEOC's involvement, because they got involved, which they almost never do, they got involved directly. I am assuming that, you know, it may take a little longer. The judges were very interested. The judges asked a lot of very good questions during oral argument. I mean, from our perspective, they were digging in the places where we wanted them to dig. Yeah. We hoped they would dig. So that's a good sign. You can never predict a result, of course. But, we are very hopeful that we'll get a positive result. But, yeah, that could take 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, you know, as they craft their decision.
Wow. Now this would be sort of something that would – I honestly think this is what has to happen. Anybody that's a Christian in that company needs to join together and bring a suit against the violation of their own religious liberties here. Do you think that is ever going to happen?
Well, so I would say this. So we are on the positive side. All those big firm Fortune 500 companies and all of that, and especially now that Biden EEOC got directly involved, people around the country are watching this case. So if with all of those forces arrayed against us, we win, this decision very well may, you know, it may resound across the country. Yeah. For great good. And so that is something that we're very hopeful for. Because, I mean, the companies all follow each other. And if one company gets whacked, because we'll come after them for punitive damages. It was the discrimination here was so evident. And so that would be something, you know, that'll send a big message to everyone else around the country. But I would say this, there's another movement afoot, which is to have employees start employee resource groups for Christian employees. So they have LGBT ones that the companies have all set up themselves. Well, there's nothing stopping Christian employees from doing this.
Of course
so they
not.
Could band together. Yeah, but then they can defend themselves and actually express their, you know, they have the proper vehicle to express themselves in their workplace and protect themselves from, you know, these sorts of arbitrary decisions like what happened to our man, Dan Snyder.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, I think this is definitely something that we've got to do. We've got to start fighting back. Just, you know.
Yeah. Use their weapons against them.
Absolutely.
I mean, they have these, I mean, you know, big bureaucracies. They like to set up these groups. Well, there's no reason we can't have a group. And you set up a group like that, all of a sudden, then when somebody like Dan expresses his opinion, well, then the group might need to be consulted. And all of a sudden, the group can educate the company. And, you know, that, it can help provide protection for people like him. Just again, we've got, I mean, you should be able to wear a cross in the workplace. You should be able to say God bless you without worrying about being fired. Yeah. You know, those are just basic things you should be able to do. Express your sincere religious convictions when asked to do so by your company.
You know, and I know, you know, in a very small way a little while back, you know, I personally came up against, you know, this doxing type of situation where you express an opinion and, you get completely trashed over social media. They start going after people that you love and that type of thing. So, we see this happening. But it's got to be, I agree with you. I think what we've got to do is to start fighting back, push back, have some of these organizations already set up. And I know Thomas More Society does a lot when it comes to this kind of stuff. Talking of Thomas More Society, tell me a little bit about what do you do? I mean, you know, we hear your name all the time. You and, you know, Tom Brecker and I worked together for many years. Give people a little bit of a rundown as to what does Thomas More do and, you know, how do people get in touch with you or do, you know, how does it all fit together?
Right. So ThomasMoreSociety.org is our internet home, ThomasMoreSociety.org, Moore is with one O. You know, we exist really to restore in law that respect for life, family, and freedom. So whether it's your religious liberties, like for a case like Dan Snyder, and for employees that just want to be able to live their faith and express it without worrying about being fired. The pro-life movement, you know, we're really, we represent nearly every major group in the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, folks, you know, that's often a lot of what we get involved in, you know, defending pregnancy centers, defending sidewalk counselors and those in that First Amendment area, you know, free speech.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's very, very tightly connected to religious liberty. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we do. You know, we get a lot of requests for help. We do what we can. You know, we're a nonprofit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can't help everybody, but boy, we try, even if we can't help, we try to point folks in the right direction, depending on, you know, their particular situation. But we've been able, I mean, I'll tell you, we've just grown tremendously in the last 25 years. To really, I think, be one of the leading organizations doing this in this movement. So again, but we appreciate folks' prayer support. Their financial support is also very much appreciated. And then, you know, when you need help, you know, we try to be there for you. And,
absolutely.
And we just, I'll tell you, instead of some of the firms that we work with, you know, they want to look for the next Supreme Court case. You know, with us at Thomas More, we've been more of defend the little guy and defend the folks that come to us. And we find ourselves in the highest courts in the land, just really in that way. So that's always been our way.
Phenomenal. I know we had Mark Hauck here at our convention in March. And I mean, he just, it was Thomas More Society was very much involved in all of that as well. So amazing, amazing.
It's a privilege to be able to defend him. And in the first, I mean, his case was that first major attack by the Department of Justice under the FACE Act against our sidewalk counselors. And we, you know, we knew the stakes were extremely high there in federal court, Philadelphia, you know, a jury of his peers, and we were able to secure a not guilty verdict. And Mark has been Mark's an incredible warrior. He always had been, but now he's got a national platform and he is doing what I had always hoped he would do, which is, I said, you know, let's get you that not guilty.
And
then get you going.
Yeah. And he's got such a story to tell. And, you know, both he and his wife are just amazing, just what they're doing. And now we've got Paul Vaughan, who's part of our Personal Alliance, board of directors. So, you know, he's also fighting hard. We've just got to keep praying for them all. Pray, because we are in a, you know, and I'm sure you would agree, this is a spiritual warfare more than anything else, Peter.
It is. And I'll tell you, I mean, we can feel the prayers. Let me say that. And that is one of the great advantages we have. You know, we don't have, I would put my lawyers pound for pound up against any of these big firm lawyers, with extremely, you know, great credentials. We've got great credentials too, and very smart people, but they don't have the prayer activity behind them when they go into court or go into a deposition or what have you, the way that we do. And we, you know, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It sure does. And I think this is where we, you know, this is what we've got to do. So I really do believe, I mean, you took on David Dalyden case. I'm trying to think of what the woman was that was with him. And I know you've been defending her as well.
Sandra Merritt.
Yes.
Lots and lots
of others. Unbelievable. So I'm always just so grateful to Thomas More. And I think if we, this is why we will win in the end. I see this, you know, being something that we will win in the end, but it's just going to be, hard, you know, and I really see some little tiny sort of plugs of lightness, of light in the darkness there, Peter, because I see, you know, I know that BlackRock, this huge company, they're sort of backing out of this DEI stuff as well. So we're getting more and more people are going, okay, this is maybe not such a great idea after all. So let's rethink this a little bit. So yeah, I think we're seeing some, I really do believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you see the green shoots when we fight back.
Yes.
And so it is so important to fight back. And, for instance, you know, with Dan Snyder, he's working at a metal manufacturing facility in Iowa. Many of his colleagues, maybe even most of his colleagues, fully agree with him.
Yeah.
But he was the one guy that stood up and, you know, said what was on everyone's mind.
Absolutely.
And so winning for him means that those folks may feel a little more comfortable.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Peter Breen. Peter Breen, ThomasMoreSociety.org, ThomasMoreSociety.org. And I'm going to encourage you all to go onto their website and click on Peter's bio, because he's got a very nice little, very short little video there that gives you sort of a feel as to who these people are that work with Thomas More and who Peter Breen is. So, Peter, thank you so much for doing this for us. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Please stay tuned for the next segment in our program this evening. Jerry Serena Jr. will be joining you, and he will be interviewing Allison Centofonte, founder of Centofonte Strategies, which is an Alabama-based consulting firm. You don't want to miss this interview, so as I say, stay tuned. Jerry Serena Jr. will be joining you shortly.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.